Fourth Canto, Chapter 16, Text 1. कौन है लीडर, कौन है, कौन साथ में? ट्रांसलेशन एंड परफॉर्म अशोक कुमार. द ग्रेट सेज मैत्रेय कंटिन्यूड, व्हाइल किंग प्रिथु दस स्पोक, द ह्यूमिलिटी ऑफ हिज नेक्टेरियन स्पीचेस प्लीज्ड the reciters very much. Then again they continued to praise the king highly with exalted prayers, as they had been instructed by the great sages. Translation in Hindi. Here the word Muni Chodhitaha indicates instructions received from great sages and saintly persons. Maharaj Prithu was simply enthroned on the royal seat and was not at that time exhibiting his godly powers. Reciters like the Sutta, the Magadha and the Vandi understood that King Prithu was an incarnation of God. They could understand this by the instructions given by the great sages and learned Brahmanas. We have to understand the incarnations of God by the instructions of the authorized persons. We cannot manufacture a god by our own concoctions. As stated by Narottam Das Thakur, Sadhu Shastra Guru, one has to test all spiritual matters according to the instructions of saintly persons, scriptures and the spiritual master. Spiritual master is one who follows the instructions of his predecessors, namely the sadhus or saintly persons. A bona fide spiritual master does not mention anything not mentioned in the authorized scriptures. Ordinary people have to follow the instructions of sadhu, shastra and guru. Those statements made in the Shastras and those made by the bona fide sadhu or guru cannot differ another.
Shastra ke kathan.
Reciters like Suta and Magadha were confidentially aware that King Prithu was an incarnation of personality of Godhead. So the king denied such praise because he was not at that time exhibiting his godly qualities. The reciters did not stop praising him. Rather, they were very pleased with the king who, although actually an incarnation of God, was so humble and delightful in his dealings with devotees. In this connection, one may note that previously it was mentioned that King Prithu was smiling and was in pleasant mood while speaking to the reciters. From the Lord and his incarnation, how to become gentle and humble.
इस प्रकार हमें चाहिए कि हम ईश्वर से या उसके अवतारों के भद्र अवतारों से भद्र तथा प्रीत बनना सीखे.
राधा पंडरीनाथ की जय. राधे. The king's behavior was very pleasing to the reciters, and consequently the reciters considered their praise and even foretold the king's future activities as they had been instructed by sadhus and sages. Praise of King Prithu by professional reciters. This is the name of this chapter. Piche karo Ganwati. Prithu, what is he known for? He is the nine processes of devotional service, and for each process there is one devotee who kind of stands out. He is remembered immediately. As soon as we say, for instance, we say Shravanam, then which devotee we remember? Parikshit Maharaj. Kirtanam, Sukhdev Goswami. Smaranam, Prahlad Maharaj. The other names also could be said, but then some kind of established understanding that these devotees. And then when we come for Archanam, Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj is a topic. He is being praised. King Prithu's appearance, that's the subject matter. And after he has appeared and after he has been enthroned, he is being praised by the reciters. And he said, no, not yet. Don't praise me. I'm not praiseworthy yet. I'm just a newcomer. I haven't manifested all those qualities, and maybe you are giving me some goal. Maybe he's thinking like, oh, reciters, you're praising me, so maybe this is your expectation. I understand, but I haven't achieved that evolution or level of qualities. And but I understand this is what you expect. So, but I'm not. I should not be praised the way you are doing now. So, his incarnation, one of the avatars, Shaktavesh avatar of the Lord, and so hearing these words from him is quite humbling experience. He has those qualities and he's claiming, no, I don't possess these qualities. On the contrary, we normally find, no, I have that quality. I have more than what you are saying. Then someone praises us, and then we say, oh, finally someone has realized how advanced I am. At least someone is understanding my advanced stage. So we fight the other way. We are not yet there, but we say, no, we are more than what you think I am. I'm more advanced than what you think. And while Prithu Maharaj is fighting, no, I'm not that. No, this is too much. Wait, maybe after 10, 20 years could come back and praise me the way you are doing now. But right now I'm not there. It's tough. So Srila Prabhupada is pointing out this as the humility. Although actually an incarnation of God, Prithu Maharaj is, he was so humble and delightful in dealings with his devotees, Thus we have to learn. So then some conclusion or some lesson Prabhupada is pointing out. If Prithu Maharaj could be that humble, he doesn't have to be humble. Take a lesson. And thus we have to learn from the Lord or his incarnation how to become gentle and humble. And the king's behavior was very pleasing to the reciters. So this is a natural consequence of the advancement in Krishna consciousness. What is the consequence? That one becomes meek and humble. He takes humble position, which is not a false. Genuine humility exists, and by cultivation of Krishna consciousness, one realizes how insignificant, tiny person he is. He's not the center of the universe, or he's not all in all, or he's not the lord of the all the what? She surveys, what is that? How is that? All the lord of all that he surveys, Prabhupada's typical term. And this is also, when person is knowledgeable, so this is a knowledge in fact. I am just part and parcel, tiny, just a speck, just a dust. This is knowledge, to know as we are. Knowledge is as we are, to know our position. I'm a humble servant. This is knowledge. To know things as they are, that's knowledge. There's nothing, no exaggeration or no or diminution. You are not, no plus, no minus, as it is. That's knowledge. So we are somebody in relationship with Krishna, we have some value. But we still are. The fact is we are just tiny living entities. And the point is, we are not the only one here in this world. Like us, like you and me, there are billions of personalities. And they also have to be accommodated. And they also have position. Humble position of being servant of the Lord. And the servant of the servant, serving the Lord and serving the devotees of the Lord. And that way we have a position. But we are not the only one in the world. there are others. And as spirit soul, they are as good as you are, no less. Materially speaking, or some circumstances, big, small, positions in this world, age factor is there. Then education, in this world, of course, that opens another topic, but Kunti Maharani says there are four things that people become proud of in this world. One thing is the birth, high birth. For some reason, everyone thinks his birth is very high. Because I have taken birth in such and such country, my birth is high. Because I have taken birth in aristocratic family, my birth is high. Because, whatever, you could say so many things. You always have some justification how your birth is very high birth. And you attach importance to it, high birth. That's one thing. Then education. Education is supposed to be making you humble, in fact. That's why you become educated, to become knowledgeable of your position, your constitutional position. Education is for that purpose. But they never find out who they are, what they are, how tiny they are, and who others are, and in this whole infrastructure or whole situation, they are just one bit, a little piece, part of the puzzle or whatever. So education, people become proud of education. Then some kind of beauty. Does anyone think that he's not beautiful? Yes, he's not beautiful. Everyone thinks I'm. And they look into the mirror, they all say, that's me. Everyone is proud of his beauty. The masterpiece. Or I'm the standard. Although everyone has the same, every person has nose, two eyes, mouth, forehead, these four or five parts of the face, and they have been a little differently managed. Same thing, but as soon as you change the positions, different things happen to you. The tiger, you push this down, then you have tiger's nose, or cat's nose. You have the manipulation. Nature is manipulating and just creating different feelings, different. But basically, everyone has a mouth, everyone has a nose, nostrils and eyes and forehead and the chin bone. But there's so much variety. So much variety. For that, we should be appreciating God, because God's nature is creating. No two persons are alike, except our Pankajangri and Jananivas in Mayapur. But there is also a difference. Those who know, I haven't figured it out in 30 years. Don't tell them. But, I take long time before I open my mouth. I don't know which who is who there. So, well, there is a difference. So everyone is, or it is said, either you. The beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, you say. Even if the beauty doesn't exist, you know, the beholder, one who sees, he just feels, he thinks this is a beautiful person. So like that, there's attachment to the beauty. So that's so. And then the wealth. Is that the fourth thing? The high birth or birth, education, beauty, wealth. Or if I don't have, I'm going to acquire it. And I have acquired so much. And I have all these plans to acquire more. And I have defeated this enemy. And I'm going to be defeating these many more. This is Krishna says in the that demoniac nature, divine and demoniac nature. The thoughts of the demoniac person is always thinking like this, planning like this. So these factors become the bondage, and it becomes difficult to exhibit humility. Now, why should I be humble? There's every reason. No. They're proud of some of these possessions or these attributes. The beauty, wealth, high birth, education. The Lord, He possesses all these qualities, all these opulences. Here Prithu does possess, Prithu Maharaj. But he is still displaying his humility. And Prabhupada is pointing out, look at this example of Prithu Maharaj. See how humble he is. So be humble. Be gentle. Gentle, humble. Which are also, these are qualities of a Vaishnava. 26 qualities of Vaishnava. So there was assembly of some saintly persons in Maharashtra. There was one time there was a little gathering, and they were testing who is humble, who is mature. So they decided to find out who is most matured in their knowledge. Kaidasana, they might be. No, Gorakamba. They'd often Dakhan Pailana. Chang there? Eknath is a murder. Kon pariksha paas zale? Kona sa? Muktabai paas zale? Muktabai paas hote. But kon? Namdev fail zale? Okay, so I'm just trying to gather some right figures, facts here. But the point is, so they decided to check out the humility and maturity. So one person was going to do the examination. He had a stick and he was meant to beat in the head. And so those who complained, those who protested, those who reacted, or those who took their own stick to fight back, so they failed. And those who tolerated the beating, the head, they passed the test. They are considered humble, tolerant. In other words, not identifying with the body or bodily concept. And no, I'm different from the body. You rascal, don't hit me. You hit me. Prabhupada gives that example. Someone in the back car dashed into the front car. The person in the front car says, you rascal, you hit me. So that person in the back car or the driver could, I didn't hit you. I hit only your car. But this person in the front car, he identifies himself so much with the car, although his car was hit from behind, he exclaims, no, you hit me, you. And he comes out ready to punch his nose. And so something similar. So this bodily concept, identifying with the body. So the education, the high birth, the beauty, the wealth, this is all connected with this body. It is here today, it will disappear tomorrow, one of these days. And all you are left with is a soul. Soul is what you are, what we are, and not the body. But we identify everything that is in relationship with the body. My birth is here, so I took birth, my body took birth in this country, so immediately I'm this, I'm American, I'm this. I'm took birth in such and such family, oh, I'm from high birth, such and such family. The wealth comes your way, immediately, oh, I'm a wealthy person. And next day you go bankrupt and you are despondent. So all these things, all in relationship with this world outside. So cutting all these connections off, cut off, and go internalize, turn towards God, and then my position in relationship with the Lord, that is knowledge. That's most important. My relationship with this world comes and goes and changes, ever changing. Yeah, so you may become Brahma, you may fall down, become Indra or Indra Gov germ. There's some germ. It's also known as some kind of Indra Gov germ. I don't know. Have you seen? So some insignificant germ you become. Next day you may become Indra. So up and down you go. But so that's changing. But there's one thing that never changes. And A Jeev Krishna Das, A Viswas. Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, A Jeev Krishna Das, A Viswas. This Jeev, this living entity, is Krishna's Das, Krishna's servant. By knowing this, he says, Karlo to ar dukhana. All your dukkha, all your misery finished. The day you are convinced that I am spirit soul and I am servant of Krishna. A Jeev Krishna Das, a Viswas, full conviction that I am part and parcel of Krishna, I am servant of Krishna eternally. That is my position. I am eternally servant of Krishna. Bas, finished. You don't have to bother with promotion or demotion. Promoted to become Indra, demoted to become Indra germ. You are free. Fixed. My position is I am servant of Krishna. Then you don't have to be bothered. Then whatever happens in this world, going up, going down a little bit. Well, others may think you are going up and down, but you are fixed as a servant of Krishna. Mind fixed till the last breath. Not aspiring. Oh, I wish I could become prime minister. Then you'll come back and you'll strive to become prime minister. Or attached to the nice home, nice family, then you may have to come back. You could come back to the same house, but you come back as a rat. In the same house you stay, but as a rat. So the best policy is to find out Kiyami. This is Sanatana Goswami's program. This is Kiyami. He inquired that from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Banaras, Varanasi. This was his one of the first Kiyami. And why am I going through this? Tapatroy. Tapatroy. Why these threefold miseries? Adhyatmik, Adhidaivik, Adhidaivik, Adhyatmik, Adhibhautik are bothering me, torturing me. Why? This is his question. No. Anyway, we are going philosophical here. Purpose was to say some more pastimes of Pandharpur Dham or Vithal. Breakfast ready? On the top of Himalayan mountain. And then Remuna in Orissa. And Pandharpur. I don't know any other places. They allow whole Abhishek in front of you and dressing in front of you. So there are only few temples in Bharatvarsha. There's no curtain between you and the Lord. It's like a... This is Lord's private... This is something that Yashoda has privilege. Of course, she doesn't just sit around and watch. She is the one who does the bathing, changing clothes and putting on new clothes, and few others assist. So this is Lord's very confidential, and internal and eternal spiritual affair, pastime. Even bathing is a pastime. Whole world is bathing, but you know, it's no big deal. When Lord is bathing, Lord is being dressed. Every time is a new experience. Elevating, evolution. And finally you show the mirror to the Lord. I remember when I was a head pujari in Radharas Bihari temple. Spent a couple of hours dressing Radharas Bihari. And then turban and then peacock. As soon as you add a turban, whole enhanced the beauty, and then peacock, and then finally flute comes. That's kind of order. And then you show the mirror to the Lord, and while He is looking into the mirror, while Lord is looking into the mirror, you look at Him. And sometimes it happened a few times. There's no peacock feather. You're showing mirror to the Lord. And you rely. Then immediately. Or the flute is not there, you're showing the mirror to the Lord. So that feeling. You look at the Lord while He's looking into the mirror. After you have personally dressed Him. As the Lord is appreciating. You have dressed Him and He's appreciating the way He has been dressed by you. So you feel, oh, Lord is happy. And then you don't have to when I was a head pujari, brahmachari, I just had dhotis. I think I didn't have even kurta. And that weather in Mumbai was manageable without kurta. Or sometimes kurta, sometimes no kurta. Because you also cannot offer arati with the kurta on. And I had to offer 6 artis. I was offering 6 artis. Every arati. So taking off kurta, putting on, I was not bothering, I was just keeping it on the side. So I didn't have to bother about myself, my dressing, how I looked like, and we're just happy seeing the Lord is happy. The Lord is satisfied. It doesn't matter how you are looking like. So all life long again, little distraction here. But let me finish this thought now. All life long you, all that you cared is your beauty. You're looking into the mirror, praising your own beauty, appreciating your own beauty. Your raised nose and your eyes reaching almost ears. And if they did not reach, you are kind of stretching them with a kajal, an ointment, you're brushing, dragging them. All your eyes are just like a monkey. You want to make them like a deer. And so many other attempts are there. And finally that body dwindles and dead. All life long you're appreciating your beauty. You're attempting to improve your beauty and skin care and nail care and this polish and that polish. Useless. All that labor finally burned to the ashes. That beauty that you thought was beautiful. What a waste. All those thoughts gone, finished. Instead, if you want to appreciate the beauty of the Lord, and all that appreciation is to your eternal credit. Will be purifying. And not that you are not beautiful, but that's not your body that is beautiful. The soul is beautiful. Soul is beautiful. The soul is Krishna's child. Krishna is beautiful. If the parents are beautiful, then children are also beautiful, isn't it? That happens. The parents have beautiful features, then their children are also beautiful. So if Krishna is beautiful, then they're his children. The souls are beautiful. So we should be more proud of the soul's beauty and not this body's beauty. Soul's beauty is also eternal. Not only soul is eternal, soul's beauty is also eternal. So this Lord Mithal, Sundarate Dhyana Ubhavite Vari Karakatavari Theoniya. Tukaram Maharaj says, Sundarate Dhyana. Sundar. The meditation upon the Lord. This is a beautiful meditation of the Lord. Lord who is standing with his hands on his hips. This is Sundarate Dhyana. Ubhavitevari, the Lord who is standing on the brick. Tulsi hara gala kase pitambara avade nirantara hechi dhyana. The Lord with the garland of Tulsi garland. This is a special feature. I think there's no deity in the world, I would say, doesn't get as much Tulsi and garlands as much as Lord Vithal gets. The no worship of Vishnu is complete without Tulsi. That's there, offering Tulsi at the feet or offering Tulsi in the offering plate on each item. But here, there's so much Tulsi they use. Tulsi garland, Tulsi mala. Tulsi hara gala. So Tukaram Maharaj has praised the Lord. He says, "O Lord, you are the garland around your neck, Tulsi Hara Gala. Always there's a garland. Tulsi at your feet, Tulsi around your neck, because he's very dear. Something that is very dear to you. Where do you put that such object? You put that around your neck. So Tulsi is very dear. So Tulsi is around the neck of the Lord. Kase Pitambara Avade Nirantara Hechi Dhyana. So, O Lord, you with the Tulsi garland and the bright yellow garments as you wear, then your dhyan, I like to remember that form eternally. Kanti kaustubha mani virajita kamakara kundale talpati shravani makara kundal, and there are earrings and they are like a shark, the fish, and they are dazzling. And that dazzle, that glitter of the earrings then reflects on your face. Because they are shining and they're sometimes shaking is there. So your face is already bright face, it becomes even brighter as with the shining of the earrings. Kanti kaustubha mani virajita, and around your neck there is a kanti kaustubha mani, special money jewel called kaustubha. And this is, no one else has a kaustubha jewel. When they did the churning of the ocean, the demigods on one side, the demons on another side, and the milk ocean was being churned. Different items, 14 different items emerged from that churning. And Kaustubh Mani was one of the jewels obtained. And it was given to Vishnu, Krishna. Oh, this is for you. So from that time onwards, Vishnu is wearing that Kaustubha Mani. Prior to that, it was a little bit difficult. If you go to Vaikunth, even residents of Vaikunth, they look like Vishnu, with four hands, and they also have a crown and so many similar features. So difficult to know who is who. You may be doing Jaya Jagadisha Hare, but to some living entity. You thought he's the Lord, he looks like him. But that's not him. So there was a difficulty like that in recognizing the Lord. So then he was given this Kaustubh Mani. Then it's easy, right? One who has a Kaustubh Mani is Vishnu. Everyone else is his devotees, parts and parcels. So this Kaustubh Mani is like an ID of the Lord. Oh, he's not the Lord, not the Lord. No Kaustubh Mani, not him, not him, not him, not him, not him. Yes, him! Because he has Kaustubh Mani. The Kaustubh Mani Viraji. Tuka mhane maze hechi sarva sukha. Pahina Sri Mukha Avarine. So Tukara Maharaj says, bus, this is it. Tukamhane Maje Hechi Heji Sarva Sukha. This beautiful form of the Lord standing on the brick, wearing yellow garments and tulsi around his neck and Kaustubh Mani on his chest and the earrings hanging from his ears. This Lord, this is, I'm just happy. Meditate upon this Lord. So this Lord, he came here from Dwarka and then he never went away. This deed is not installed by anybody. This is the understanding of Tukaram and others. Lord came here and he just stood here. And he's here, waiting for his devotees to come to him. So, briefly, we could say that once in Dwarka, the Rukmini noticed that her husband, Dwarkadish, was paying some extra attention to some young, beautiful women, and she did not know who they were, and the way he was mingling, very familiar, and joking, and he had good time, and he was so friendly with them. And Rukmini was saying, "Oh, look, he never behaves like this with me. First of all, and what business does he have to talk with other women so confidentially and so close? And right here in my palace, in front of my nose? No!" So she was very, very upset. You know, with her he has different dealings. He acts like a boss. "You shut up, Rukmini. Hey, I say, shut down." But he wasn't doing like that. He was very friendly with these some strange ladies. Rukmini had never seen them before. They were exceptionally beautiful. A group, and there was one leader of that group, the woman leader. So those were the gopis headed by Radharani. They were in Dwarka. And so Rukmini was naturally very disappointed with her husband, very upset, and almost on the verge of, you know, going for divorce. And they're talking in the terms. But she did not do. She didn't go to any court or... But she just decided to quit or go away. So she went away and she traveled and traveled. Because she is from, we could say so. We can't read the mind of Rukmini. We don't have access to Rukmini's thoughts. But we could say something that Rukmini appeared in Maharashtra. This is one of the states of India called Maharashtra. She appeared in near Amravati. We have ISKCON Center. And we have ISKCON in the place of Rukmini's birth. The birthplace of Rukmini, and we have 5 acres of land acquired in Rukmini's birthplace. Lot of times we do take this Maharashtra tour to Rukmini's birthplace. Kundinpur, it's called Kundinpur. This time we did not go. I just received the call yesterday from our Akrur Prabhu. He was in Kundinpur, Rukmini's birthplace. And he called and I said, we are also with Rukmini Dwarka. We tell Rukmini this. I said, we are in Pandharpur, he's in Kundinpur. And we're communicating. and he's doing some initial land development and digging well and planting trees and fixing one hill, and he wants to have Govardhan hill. There's a hill already, so he wants to make that like a Govardhan. So he's busy. In future he could go to Rukmini's birthplace. So she is from here. Maharashtra is very big, so another part of Maharashtra. So she left Gujarat, Dwarka, Gujarat state, and she entered Maharashtra. And finally she comes here on the bank of Chandrabhaga. There was a forest called Dindirvan. Dindirvan. It still exists. Some traces, remnants of that forest is still there. And so she was there by herself. Doing tapasya, or leading very austere life away from opulence of Dwarka. And so there, back in Dwarka, when Dwarkadish realized that Rukmini was nowhere to be found in the palace or in Dwarka town, then he started search, looking for Rukmini. So, there are two versions I have come across that says that Dwarkadish directly came here sitting in the chariot and he found Rukmini in Dindirvan, other side of the river. And the other version is that he went to Vrindavan first, and from Vrindavan he took some cows with him, he took some cowherd boys with him, and the whole entourage is going around looking and searching. And they came to the place called Gopalpur, that's where you were there this morning, and you saw some footprints of the cow on a calf, yes or no? And flute, footprints, mark of the flute. So that Gopal Krishna, Gopalpur, because Krishna came from Vrindavan, and that's where he had come. And he sits down, takes his food. All the cowherd boys are sitting around him. And then finally finding Rukmini here. So the two versions, as I said, he comes directly from Dwarka. Another one, he goes to Vrindavan, and then he comes with the cows and cowherd boys from Vrindavan. Hence the Gopalpur here. So he, Dwarkadish, Sri Krishna, tried to pacify her. His dear wife Rukmini, but that did not work. She was really furious and fuming. Fired up. So Dwarkadish did not succeed. So then he remembered, Lord remembered, he had promised one devotee who was living in this area, that Lord's promise was that Lord would visit him. So Lord goes to visit him, and his name is Pundalik. And Lord knocked at the door. Hey, who is it? That's me. So Pundalik realized, from the the deep voice, it's not ordinary voice, like a deep rumbling, like a, when there's a clouds and the thunder, like a thunder, sweet at the same time. And he was a great devotee, and he had a promise. So he was busy taking care of his Vaishnava parents, serving Vaishnavas, his superior, then serving Vishnu, that philosophy. So he requested Lord, I'm a bit busy. Please hold on. I'll be just now finished. I'll be with you just few moments. So please take this asan for you. So he took a brick and placed in front. Please stand. So Lord took that asan and stood there. And then when he was done with serving his Vaishnava parents, he was back with the Lord, and there's a dialogue, and very special appeal from this Pundalik to the Lord. My dear Lord, you please stay here. And thank you for your visit. I have been blessed. I'm eternally indebted to you. But I would like so many more in future be blessed, benedicted by your presence, your darshan. So please stay here. And so Lord decided to oblige, and he stayed on here. Then after some time, Rukmini, he was pacified. She forgave the Lord for his misbehavior, if you could say so. Then she also joined. And because she joined a little later, she has separate temple, separate altar. They are not on the same altar, as you have noticed. So they have stayed on. And they are here. And we are here. It has taken long, long time for us to directly come in contact with Lord face to face. So this is not a deity that was carved in Jaipur and then later on installed. That's one way of doing things. The other way is they call Swayambhu. The Lord just manifests and becomes the deity. So that is also not the case here. This is a third and very unique situation. The Lord, during his manifest Leela, he visits this place and he stands here as becomes the deity, Lord. Like we know, Dvijavaninath from Navadvip. There's Gaur Gadadhar temple in one of the nine islands. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar, they are visiting this Dvijavaninath. And this devotee also requested, "My dear Lord, please you stay here. So, when he Gauridas Pandit, Gaurnithai, Kalna, Ambika Kalna, वहाँ भी काफी story है ना ऐसा. So, Dvijavaninath ka bhi has two different stories. That, when he was requested, the lords were requested, "You please stay here." So Lord became the deity. But the two lords also started walking towards Jagannath Puri. That's where they had to go. But then, this Dvijavaninath, or dusra naam kya? Gurdas Pandit. There are two names I'm hearing. Maybe similar past time. Happened twice. So, I will say Dvijavaninath because I had heard that. So when the lords were walking towards Jagannath Puri, they were leaving. Then Dvijavaninath runs, "My dear Lord, you stay, you stay." Then, as he was requesting, "You stay, okay, we stay." So those who were walking towards Puri, they become deities, and those who had earlier become deities, they begin walking. And as they were walking, now he running to them, "Hey, no, you stay, you stay." Okay, we stay. They become deity, and the other party, other two, they begin walking. So he was going back and forth. And this pastime, Lord is trying to prove, I am not different from my deity. And that we could also understand here. So Lord stayed here and he also returned to Dwarka and continued his pastimes in Dwarka. Not that everything was wound up here, or there could be big question, "Oh, then what happened to the remaining pastimes of Dwarka?" They happened, the Lord returned. He stayed here and returned to Dwarka at the same time. So that Lord is here, and then whole Gopalpur dimension is here. This is Krishna. Vithal is Krishna. You saw him eating butter? Did you notice? They offered him a big ball. In the middle of the arati. They remember. You took notice of that? Yeah, in the middle, it happens for a few minutes, the whole ball like this. Yeah, well, yeah, in the middle of the bathing, Abhishek, the arati is going on, and then he's also offered bhog, butter. So it's Krishna. So that is some basic foundational ideas pastimes. And the once Lord was here, then all these devotees, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's visit, then Nityananda Prabhu, and then how many others, Shankaracharya and Tukaram, and this chanting and dancing. Yeah, there. Lots of faith in chanting the holy name. People have in Maharashtra. And lots of Bhagavad Gita are also distributed in Maharashtra, Marathi language. The most sold Bhagavad Gita as it is in India is in Marathi language. More than Hindi. Combined sales of all North India, Hindi Bhagavad Gita distribution, that is defeated by the scores of Bhagavad Gita in Marathi. This is big demand. $10 lakhs. Big number. I remember, when was it? 30 years ago. We're selling that for 10 rupees, Bhagavad Gita. I sold Bhagavad Gita 10 rupees. All day I was saying, Gita Gya, Gita Bhaga.